Hello and welcome to the Living Deeply Stories podcast. I'm your host, Merrill Parker, and today I'm going to tell the story of the AK-47 incident in Laos, in a place called Vang Bien, and how I got there. It was the scariest thing that ever happened to me, probably. I think so, when I was traveling. So I've done a lot of traveling and traveling on my own as well. And so at the end of 2019, so 2019 was the year I turned 40, and at the start of the year I started off in India with my family. We were on a trip for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. They got married in India. My mum's from Mumbai and she's Goan from Mumbai. And yeah, we went on this trip. So that was how I started the year. My 40th birthday was in Mumbai. And then mid-year in August, we went on this trip with all my friends who were also turning 40 that year. And there was 30 of us in, most of us were turning 40. And there was 30 of us in this villa in Seminyak in Bali for 4 days, and it was really fun. And after that, I decided to stay a month in Bali. And so from there before that I had been at my favorite hotel in the south end of Kuta, kind of near the airport, and but also near the beach. And I love airports, by the way. So anyway, I had been there for a few days, and then we had the Festival of 40 from the 4th of August until the 8th. And then after that, I went to Ubud. That I like to go to the yoga barn, and I did yoga. And then I wanted to go somewhere new. I had planned this all out before I left, by the way. And so I went to Canggu, and I ended up staying there. I went to Canggu after, and I stayed a bit longer. Then I went to Ubud, and then I went to Nusa Lembongan, which is an island just off the coast of Bali. And I was there for, I don't know, a week or something, a few days. And I went swimming with the manta rays, which is what you do there. And it was a pretty exciting adventure. You had to like jump off the boat and swim in this rocky sea. And the first time I went, we didn't see the manta rays. But so I went a second time and then we saw them because, you know, they're wild creatures. So but there was a whole lot of them, and it was so great. I loved it. I rode around on a moped and it was the best. So then I came back to Perth and I released my novel Wanderlust, and that was a lot of work because I'm crazy and I didn't know what I was doing or getting myself into. So when I was in Canggu, I met this guy in a cafe and I told him that I wrote and was writing my memoir and had this novel, and he was like, why don't you publish books on Amazon, ebooks? And I was like, no, I'm a real author. But then I wasn't going to just publish ebooks, I wanted to publish physical books as well. But then when I got back to Perth, I started thinking about it, and then I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I don't have a publisher, so I might as well just publish it. So I did everything myself, from the book cover. I mean, I had a virtual assistant who I used some time from when I was in the coaching, had a coaching business. So I did the editing of Wanderlust. I set it all out. I had to learn. It was a steep learning curve of how you have to set it out, and for Amazon as well. And then I painted and drew the cover, and then I got the virtual assistant to make it into digital form for me and set it up. So yes, I did it all, and I was so tired after. I decided to change the tenses at the last minute. So first I had it in the past, like, and then I decided at the last minute to go back to the present tense as I had wanted it to be at one stage when I was writing it over the 7 years that I did, which was like 5 or 7 years before this now. So it was a long time that I had been working on it, and then a long time that I had left it and not done anything with it because I didn't know what to do. So finally I was able to publish it, but I decided at the last minute to change it to back to present tense, and then found out, and you know, like every time I went to edit it, it would take me like 5 days working too much, like 12 hours a day, which is way too much for a projector. So no wonder I got more health issues after that. But I changed it back to present, took me a week. Then I changed it back, then I was like, published it, I think. And then I realized it didn't work. Then I changed it back to past. But then I had set this date to publish it and like announced it. And I was posting about it on my Instagram, and like, so people were all excited about it. And then finally I published it, and then I realized there were small mistakes with it once I'd published it. So then I unpublished it, and then, you know, like it was just a bit of a fiasco. But finally, and it was just too much work for me. And finally I did put it out there. So I haven't been, I mean, people bought it at the time and they did love it. I got a lot of great feedback from it, but because I couldn't get a lot of reviews up, like people were supposed to post themselves, but Amazon has these specific rules, like you have to have spent $50 on Amazon in order to publish a review, and like some other conditions, like you had to have bought it from Amazon just so that it's verified. And so I ended up, and then I learned human design and being a projector, because one day I tried to promote it, and then one day I went down to the cafe like disheartened because my promotions were not working. It's like you just do A plus B equals C, and it wasn't happening. And so I went down to the cafe, and there was this woman there who had come to one of my workshops when I had the coaching business, and she said, I told her about it, and she said, have you heard about human design? You're probably a projector. And so we looked up my human design, and I was a projector like her. And so yes, these ways, that regular ways of things happening don't work out like that for me. So anyway, that was 2019. So towards the end of the year, so this is like September that happened, September, October, and I was teaching English as a second language, as I had been doing for 18 years. And so I went to, so that was quite flexible, because sometimes I have classes, other times I don't. That's why I could take like unpaid leave whenever I wanted. And So coming up towards the end of the year, I was, they asked me to teach this bridging course. So it was helping students it was like a very intense course to prepare students for university, coming from China mainly. And, you know, it was way too much work for me also. So, but it was good money. And, you know, I did love teaching English, and the readings and the material was very interesting as well. I learned a lot on that course, and I always enjoyed the students too. I just didn't want to do all the marking and all the admin stuff, you know. So that was a lot of work. And also because it was the first time I was doing the course, it was a lot of work because I have to, you know, go through everything myself as well. So anyway, when I finished that, before I finished it, I had this feeling like I wanted to go on this trip because when I had gone to Bali, it was for a month and I didn't want to come home at the end. And so I wanted to go away with an open-ended ticket and see when it was that I wanted to come home, and so that I would know in future. And so I decided to go on this trip that I and also, okay, at the same time I was doing the Nori Protocol, which is this, it's for it was for cancer, and it's I had breast cancer, metastatic, and it was a very strict vegan diet. Like, it was a low protein vegan diet, and to put and taking all these supplements and no drinking, and so it was a very strict diet. And I also thought, I felt, so it was intuitive that I was like, I want to go away, and you know what, I deserve it. Because I've done this strict diet, and this will be, I was going to go away for New Year's of going into 2020. I thought, oh, it's going to be such an exciting year ahead. So I decided, yeah, to go away and also to celebrate that I had done that strict diet for 4 months. So I wanted to go on this trip to Thailand and Laos, and possibly, which I had done when I was 21. So this is now I would be 41. Oh yeah, that was the other reason I wanted to go away. I wanted to spend my birthday completely alone. So my birthday is on January 3rd. And like, when I was in India with my family, I just felt this pressure to do what they wanted to do rather than what I wanted to do for my birthday. And, you know, I'm not being ungrateful. I'm extremely grateful, but that's why I wanted to go away for my 41st birthday. I just wanted to be completely alone, not have anyone rush me, not have anyone, not have to. And I've had many great birthdays and often spent my birthdays with, you know, having parties and with people. But as I get older, I just really like being alone on my birthday. Well, I did. At that time. So that was the other reason I wanted to go away. I was in Phuket for New Year's of 2020, and then I, on January 3rd, celebrate my birthday, had the best day ever. And I wanted to go on this trip up, so take the train from Surat Thani, which is kind of towards the south of Thailand, where you can take the train from there to Bangkok. I love Bangkok. So I went there for two or three nights. And then I wanted to go to Chiang Mai. So this is a trip I did when I was 21 with a boyfriend. And so, yeah, I wanted to do it by myself so that I could, you know, because now I'm like, oh, just so much more emotionally stable than when I was 21. And I just wanted to see what it was like traveling by myself, just feeling so free and comfortable and happy and present and not having to answer to anyone else either. So I wanted to go to Chiang Mai because when I was 21 and I went to Chiang Mai, it was the first time I traveled by myself because I was vegetarian at that time, and I don't know, I guess I was not very stable. My blood sugar levels were out, and I think it was also, well, it was definitely also from being around someone else, my boyfriend, for 5 weeks at that point and 24/7, and I just went a little bit crazy in this place called Pai, and I ended up going off by myself and just was so emotionally unstable. But it was also from being a projector and being around someone else 24/7 and not knowing that how much I needed time by myself to recuperate, and also energetically needing to sleep by myself. So I went to Chiang Mai, but when I got there, I went and stayed in this guest house, and then I found that the other girls who were traveling by themselves, like, they're just all stuck together. So I wasn't really traveling by myself. I was actually Like there was this one, I remember this little bit older British woman, and she just like stuck to me like glue. And she, I didn't know how to set boundaries when I was 21. And I found that she really turned her nose up at things that Alexis and I, my ex, we were much more adventurous and trying different food or anything. And I was just like, this is such a drag. Like, I wanted to be alone, and now I'm just hanging out with people I don't really like. And so so that was my memory of Chiang Mai. But this other girl who I was friends with, I was traveling around at the same time. She loved Chiang Mai, and so did my ex. And we ended up, my ex and I, meeting. Like, I was sending him an email, like, I'm sorry, I want to meet up again. And then, so after, I was just a few days, 2 days in Chiang Mai by myself, and then met up with him at this place called Chiang Kong. And that was on the way to Laos, to the border. And then we traveled the slow boat to a place called Luang Prabang, which we didn't stay in for very long. But it's this old French colonial town on the river in Laos. And we went as well to, what was the other place? Oh, yeah, Vang Bien, which was an amazing place, which is where this story I'm going to tell you was set. So I will tell you about it in a minute. And we went on to Vientiane, the capital, which is not really, like, most tourists that go there are not like so excited by it. But I just had a really happy feeling from there, and I wanted to go back and see what it was like. And so, yeah, so that was the trip that I was doing in then at the start of 2020. And then I wanted to go to Hanoi, and so I did that too after Vientiane. So I had visited Ho Chi Minh and Phu Quoc, an island in Vietnam, but I'd never been to Hanoi, and I really wanted to go there. So that was my trip. And I found out that 5.5 weeks, I was away for 7 weeks, but I found that 5.5 weeks was really like when I was like, okay, now I'd be happy to go home at 5.5 weeks. And by 7 weeks, 6-7 weeks, I was getting a bit lonely by then, like after having so much alone time. Yeah, that was the other reason I wanted to go away. I just really wanted alone time because I had been teaching for 12 weeks and doing way more than my energy system can handle. I was just craving to be alone. So that was, I talked to a lot of people, well, especially in Chiang Mai. I think in Phuket, maybe a couple of people I talked to. In Bangkok, I talked to no one except for the lady at the hotel, like as I was going in and out. I just walked around a lot, and I always have my journal, so I have my journal to talk to, my best friend. And then when I got to Vang Bien, so I wanted to be alone. And so when I got to Vang Bien, from Luang Prabang, from the border of Thailand, Laos, you go down the slow boat for 2 days, and it's filled with backpackers, which was funny because I really felt old. Like, I'm like 20 years older than them. And not just like, I mean, I'm a very fun person. So not in that way did I feel old, but like, they were like drinking and, you know, on the first day drinking the whole time. And I was just sitting chatting to this really nice Dutch guy and these other German people that I had met on the bus on the way there. So I didn't get to have all that time alone. I imagined that I would just be sitting looking out the window. But instead I met these cool people. And, yeah, so in Luang Prabang I met up with them a couple of times, but mostly I spent it by myself. And then I took the bus. And, you know, by the way, I didn't have any Lonely Planet or anything. When I was 21, I did. I mean, you can look everything up online these days. But I just really like not planning, and then just asking people, finding out information, how to go here, there, just talking to people. That's how I like to travel. And so when I traveled in Laos when I was 21, I remember there was a warning not to go off the beaten track because there were separatist rebels there at the time. And so I think it's changed a lot. It's become more developed and still has its charm that it used to have, but there's a lot more tourists, like from China and Korea, I noticed at that time when I was 21, there wasn't at all. And so it has opened up a lot. So when I got to, so I went on the bus from Luang Prabang to Vang Vien, and it was beautiful, you know, going through all the mountains. Or Vang Vien is a place where you can do hot air ballooning, and they have these beautiful cliffs, very picturesque, and just a small little town. At that time when I was 21, I just remember there was just like red dirt, like, you know, those pebbles, like those orange pebbly roads, and very small. I just have a photo sitting on the river with some other backpackers that we'd met, and swimming in a waterhole, and I think we went cycling, something like that. And yeah, so mostly though, when you're at that age, and even now, it's fun to meet people when you're traveling, people from all over the world. And that's what I loved so much about teaching English, and what I love so much about traveling as well. So especially when you're a backpacker, you know, you stay at the guest house and there's lots of other backpackers and you just hang out. So when I got to Vang Vien, I was not staying at the backpackers. I was staying at this beautiful hotel with this amazing view over the little town, and I could, like, you could see the hot air balloons land coming in, flying over. It was just incredible. And the little town, I loved it. I really loved it. And it was just, it was still a dirt, orange dirt road, but they had like night markets, and they had this Australian style cafe. What was it called? Espresso something. Is it like a yellow branding? I just loved that place so much, eating a chocolate pie and having coffee for breakfast. And there was also, next to the hotel where I was staying, there was this really nice restaurant with red and white checkered, I mean, it's a casual restaurant, but they had that like vegetable noodle soup. So by that stage I'd finished the diet, but I was still eating vegan mostly. And yeah, just really good food. So this day with the AK-47, now I'm getting to that, let me tell you. So this is the scariest that I've ever been, I think, when I've been traveling. And so what happened was that I wanted to go out of Vang Vien. There's like five or six lagoons, and they set them up, so a few of the earlier ones, like 1, 2, and 3, are, they're all set up, like they've got ropes, they've got like things that you can play on in the water, they've got food there and all kinds. So, but my first mistake was that I hired a moped. And, you know, I'm not like that great of a moped driver. I only ever hire a moped when there's not a lot of traffic around. And they're always like, so you know how to ride a moped, don't you? And I'm like, yeah. How do you turn it on again? But then you get the hang of it. So it was fine. So that was the first mistake, because the road, there's actually quite a lot of rocks on the road, I discovered. And so it would have been better to get one of those like four-person quad bikes that a lot of people were renting, I realized, after I was on the road out of the town towards the lagoons, I was thinking, yeah, would have been better if I had done some research and got a quad bike, which it would be better to ride on these roads on. Like, I had this like Hello Kitty bike moped, and so I was riding along on the bumpy road, but it was still fun. There was like places where it's all cows, and I went to the lagoons and I was jumping off into the water and having a good time and looking at the other tourists, as I like to do. And so it was coming in the afternoon, and I went more north towards, or I don't know more what direction it was, but feels like north to me. There was like Lagoon 5, which was quite remote, and I had a map, I think I had, from the tourist office, and I went to Lagoon 5, and there was a lot of French backpackers there. There wasn't anything else there. There was just, there wasn't the like food and that kind of stuff. It was more of a remote lagoon. And there wasn't any ropes or anything. It was just like, seemed to be just some French backpackers enjoying themselves. And so then on the map, it said there were some caves a bit further than this. And so I decided to go there. And I think first, getting to this Lagoon 5 anyway, I got a bit lost and I ended up in some villages and I ended up asking some local people for directions, but they were sitting around drinking, and I just felt a little unsafe. I felt, I don't know, I just felt some kind of animosity. Maybe they, I was just by myself there on my moped, and, you know, sometimes I had to really go up these hills, and it was very rocky, and so I was a bit unstable on the moped. So I ended up finding my way, though, to Lagoon 5, and then on the map it just showed that there were some caves north of this, and it was coming towards the evening. Maybe it was 3 or 4 o'clock by that stage. So I decided to just, I'll just go have a look at those caves and then I'll come back. So I was riding these, up this dirt road, just, it was only me on the road, and I was just thinking to myself, I love freedom so much, and feeling so happy. And as I got more remote, I saw a house on the side of the road about 50 meters from the road, and I, as I rode towards it and then passed it, I didn't register it straight away. You know, when you see something scary or someone famous, like, your brain doesn't register it straight away, I find. And so, but as I drove past, I realized what it was. It was a man walking out of the house with an AK-47 slung over his shoulder. And I drove past, and then it clicked in, as I went a bit further, it clicked that he was maybe guarding something. And I didn't even have time to think about this stuff. I did, turned around and I sped back. I've never been such a good moped rider like as then. And when I got back, he was standing on the road with the AK-47 and he was just watching me. So he probably was guarding something, I guess, in the caves or whatever. And I just was so terrified. And I just didn't even look at him as I rode past. I just sped past that full speed, and from there I rode back, and I tried to go to see another waterfall, but then I was just like, what are you doing? Like, just, and then I ended up, you know, it was too difficult on the moped, and so I ended up just riding back to the town and relaxing by the river. And yeah, but that was the scariest I've ever felt traveling by myself. I do take precautions and, you know, try to have a sense of intuition and sense of, I don't usually get into such sticky situations or scary situations. I tend to you know, be aware of my safety traveling as a female. But I felt up until that point, the Fifth Lagoon, there was always people around, so I didn't feel any sense of fear because of that. But yes, yeah, so that was my story. That was the scariest I've been while traveling. The man with the AK-47 over his shoulder and me on the moped. So I hope you have enjoyed my story. If you feel called to, you can subscribe to hear more stories about traveling and transformation, flow, manifestation, and being here now. Coming at you from Perth, Australia. West Australia, the most isolated city in the world, apparently, or capital city. And so that's why we travel, especially, I don't know, in America. I was thinking, like, it's so nice there. You could just go to another state and you feel a totally different feeling. And you have so many states and so many, like the difference between Miami and New York and the Midwest and everywhere, California, Seattle, like just the North. Detroit, oh, so many places. But here, West Australia is like the size of Europe, my state, and the only capital city is Perth, and everything feels kind of the same. I mean, it's amazing too, but it's just very far to get to other places. So, and Sydney is 5 hours away. Bali is only 3 hours away, and so that's why flying. So that's why a lot of West Australians go to Bali for holiday rather than Sydney. And also because it's so great there. And Sydney. I mean, it's great too, but it's still Australia. Anyway, that is that's my story. So if you feel called, do subscribe. And if you would like to, you can also leave me a comment, share this post. You can go into Apple or wherever you find this and leave me a review, and that would help other people to also find this podcast. So if you have a minute to spare, I would love you to do that. Thank you so much, and I'm wishing you lots of fun and adventure for the next week, over the weekend and so, and I will be back next week for another story. So bye for now.